Right off the bat, the 708 texted in, please do a public announcement explaining zipper merge laws and that merging early is against Illinois law. Many have no idea. Yeah, it is annoying when people merge early, and I just I will make that PSA because the 708 wants me to. I'll add one addendum to that. If you are in the lane that is getting merged into, you know, if you got some time, move over to the center lane a little bit so that the merging's a little bit easier, because you got to give the right of the way to the people. I feel like if we start talking about driving laws, we're going to open up a can of worms. So let's pivot off that. Everyone respect the merging. I will say that. And we'll go to Ben Zielinski, who I imagine echoes those sentiments from Capital News, Illinois. Ben, I don't know if you drive much, but I think a good PSA about merging laws is always good to refresh the listeners with.
That's true. I drive plenty, so.
Yeah. Let's dive into all that you guys do at Capital News, Illinois. A little refresher for those that haven't heard you on our station. What is it that Capital News, Illinois does?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit wire service. We're just like the Associated Press, but just a nonprofit version. And we cover anything related to Illinois state government and provide it for free to any news organization in Illinois that wants it.
So you can go to CapitalNewsIllinois.com for all the stories, but you might see the stories popping up all over the place, right?
Yeah, exactly. It'll be everywhere.
Yeah. You guys do great work covering all things Springfield, whether they're in session or they're out of session and everything in between. I don't want to put you on the spot, Ben, but I just thought of this, and feel free to demur and text me later and we can update the listeners. But a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that Right to Die Act is not the right word for it, but the medical assisted ending of life situation that the governor said he was going to look over. I didn't see any news about him signing it yet. Do you know if the governor has or plans to sign or perhaps veto that legislation? Any movement on that one?
Yeah, no, he has not signed it yet. He was asked about it like a week or two ago, and, you know, he kind of gave the typical, you know, answer that the governor always gives when he doesn't want to tip his hand, that, oh yeah, he's reviewing it. It's an interesting issue and he'll let us know what he thinks.
Interesting. Now, it's not like the president in a federal government that has 10 days. Otherwise, it's what's known as a pocket veto. Seems to be that the governor has a lengthier ability to draw these things out a bit.
Yeah. I don't know the exact number of days, but it can come out to, like, you know, almost 3 months before the governor even signs the bill. So, you know, it really could be January, February before we actually find out if he's going to sign that particular piece of legislation.
That's interesting. Okay, well, one piece of legislation that went through, not unexpectedly, but I was kind of surprised at how fast it happened after months and months and months of delay, was this transportation bill. The big aspect of it was avoiding a fiscal cliff. But there's a lot in this bill. I mean, it's a big one, right? And you've read through, I don't know, every single word, Ben, but darn near all of them.
Yes, I have read through every single word. At least that was new in the bill. And yeah, I mean, this is truly, like, you know, when the sponsors of this bill tell you it's a transformative piece of legislation, they're really not exaggerating. You know, I guess time will tell over the coming 4 or 5 years here how much, you know, it actually improves our commuting life here in the Chicago area. But it really does aim to really change kind of how we do public transportation in Illinois. There's funding to potentially bring rail projects out to the Quad Cities and Peoria. Obviously, here in the Chicago area, we're looking at, you know, a new fare system, so we're not on 2-3 different apps to ride the Metro and then take the L. So there's, you know, this bill is completely loaded with the idea that public transportation is going to be easier and better to use in, you know, the coming years once all these changes are actually implemented. I mean, you do go to other cities, Washington, D.C., New York City. You don't have to wait forever for a train or a bus to show up like we sometimes have to do here. It's efficient and the schedules are better coordinated. And that's really what lawmakers are hoping to get at here.
Interesting. You know, it's the messaging in the spring session when there was all the advertisements from the RTA that the service is going to be cut in half. We need to keep our workers employed, etc. And I'm sure a lot of that is true, Ben, but it almost had this sense of, like, this is a bill to, like, save the current system. It didn't really paint a picture of, like, changing and really modifying and really streamlining these services. I mean, maybe there were some people chatting about that, but it seemed like more like a bailout than it did like a new plan forward. I don't know if that's a messaging mistake. We weren't paying attention to the right things, but when you say it's transformative, that might excite some people to know that it's not just a bailout for the current system.
Yeah, it is kind of a two-parter. It is absolutely a bailout for the current system because, you know, the current system was facing such a massive funding shortfall in the coming year or two that was going to require services to be cut by 40%. So in that sense, it does bail the transit agencies out on that, but it does provide new funding beyond what those funding gaps were going to be. So lawmakers are really hoping here that the new funding is what's going to make service better. They're going to be able to allow these transit agencies to provide more trains, more buses, a more coordinated schedule, maybe add some new routes in that people, you know, have really, really wanted to see over the years. That's kind of the idea here. And, you know, maybe some of it is our fault here in the media because we focus so much on those tax increases and that funding aspect. And, you know, obviously we were trying to hold government accountable here to make sure that our tax dollars are being used correctly. But there is also the other side to it in that, you know, the whole goal of this legislation from the beginning was always to make public transportation better. Obviously, it's going to take a long time to see if that actually happens. But, you know, at the end of the day, that was the ultimate goal. It wasn't just completing the bailout.
I'm sure this is a more complicated answer than you're able to give here on the show today. But, I mean, yes, improve the services, give more trains. I think that's something a lot of people can get behind. But that may cost a lot of money. I know they're funding it up front, but it might take time. It's not like riders immediately recognize those changes and go, oh, never mind, I'm going to ditch my car and I'm going to take the Metra into the city every single day. Like, it takes time to change commuter habits. Do they have a long runway on this, or is this like, hey, we got a year or two to fund this stuff, and then, boy, I hope the fares end up providing the revenue we need to keep it going?
Yeah, no, I really do think this is going to be something that we might really not actually see the impacts for, I don't know, another 4 or 5 years probably. I mean, the bill does set some pretty long runways here. The board itself, you know, this integrated transit system isn't really going to take effect until next September, about a year from now. And it's going to be a lot longer even beyond that. I think we're looking at, I believe it's 2028 when a lot of these service boards have to actually implement, you know, some of their coordinated scheduling and other things like that, you know, would improve potentially the rider experience. But it could be 2030 before we actually see an app that's online to make sure that we're not using, you know, so many different ticketing systems. So I think, you know, transit users are really going to have to be patient with this because you're not going to see those changes here in the coming months. You're probably not going to see the changes a year from now either, maybe not even 2 years from now. The lawmakers gave these transit agencies a long time to implement the changes that are actually supposed to make the system better. So obviously there's going to be a lot of accountability in this, and that we're going to have to be watching it very closely to see if this is even accomplishing what lawmakers had hoped it would actually achieve.
Chatting with Ben Zielinski here of Capital News Illinois, talking about that big transportation bill. I mean, our area, the Chicago area, is pretty unique. Like LA, that's a driving city. New York, almost exclusively, I shouldn't say that, but a lot of people just use that pretty efficient MTA they have in New York. I feel like Chicago and our surrounding area has an extensive rail and bus network, but it is still also a very driver-friendly or a driver-heavy area, maybe not too friendly with all the traffic and construction. So it's like a needle they have to thread. Like, I'm sure that there's some politicians that want to stuff as much into these bills to try and make people decrease their dependence on cars, but the reality is a lot of Chicagoans use their cars still. I mean, a ton of us.
Yeah, and I don't know how much this is going to change, you know, travel habits. I think, you know, one of the messages that we heard from union officials, from, you know, state lawmakers is that, well, if we can improve the safety on the CTA, for example, and make the schedules more coordinated, provide more frequent service on Metra, that's going to be able to get and convince some people to, you know, get out of their cars and to take public transportation. Because, I mean, let's face it, a lot of people would much rather drive their cars at night than hop on the L. So, you know, they're kind of hoping to solve some of these problems, and that's going to be what takes people off the roadways and onto public transit. But, you know, obviously you can't get everywhere in this area without, right. you know, driving a car. So, you know, I don't think this bill really moves us any closer to a New York kind of lifestyle, for example. So, you know, we'll see. I think that's kind of maybe one of the letdowns here for some transit advocates who really wanted to see something, you know, crazy big, maybe like a metro line from Lake County to Joliet without stopping in the city of Chicago. That the bill doesn't really make that a reality at this point in time, as far as we can tell. So, you know, there's still going to be that dependence on cars. And I think it's going to be hard to convince people to get back on transit, make that a regular habit more than they already use it.
For sure. All right, one other story I wanted to touch on briefly was that the governor, you know, I didn't really hear about this, wanted state agencies to submit spending cut plans to the governor by late last month. Is this part of a big cut that he's planning to the budget, or is he just trying to see redundancies in staffing budgets, like almost have agencies like gameplay where cuts could be, and then the governor will kind of pick and choose where maybe he wants to cut things in the budget? What's behind this?
Yeah, it seems to be the latter, because when he did issue this executive order back in September, it sounded like, you know, the state was seeing some financial troubles here this year, that revenue was down, and, you know, he needed to save upwards of 2-4% across the board. But he hasn't released anything that state agencies had to submit to him by, I think it was October 23rd. And that kind of, I guess, leads us to the point that you made there, that maybe this is just more, you know, an order from the governor to kind of get an idea of where the state can cut some spending if need be. You know, right now in our current financial situation, at least based on current numbers, the state revenue is up compared to last year. We haven't really seen that downturn in revenue that we thought we might see from the economy, from the lack of federal funding. You know, the governor's budget office projected that there was going to be about a $200 million deficit by the end of the fiscal year in June, which in terms of state government, that's not exactly enormous. But, you know, state lawmakers passed some tax changes a few weeks ago that would basically make up for that deficit. So right now, it's in some ways, it's a little hard to see even where Pritzker would actually need to cut spending in order to balance the budget. So I think he's definitely taking maybe that more of a, I'm gathering information and we'll see if I need to implement it approach.
Yeah. For me, when I hear state revenue is up, like one part of my brain goes, oh, that's good. And then I remember that it's coming from me. It's coming from our listeners.
This is true. And I can tell you what is up is that sales tax revenue and that income tax revenue. So yeah, it's coming from all of us.
What are you watching over here over the next couple of weeks, Ben? Anything on your radar for stories you're interested in?
Yeah, I think some of what we'll be watching is kind of just seeing how this immigration stuff shakes out here in the Chicago area. Obviously, we know Greg Bovino has left the city. So we'll kind of just see, I think, going into the winter, what the immigration picture is looking like. We'll certainly also just be watching, you know, a lot of stuff at the federal level. The government shutdown was pretty traumatic for a lot of people and certainly had a big impact on the state. And, you know, as soon as the calendar flips here back to January, we're going to be watching for another funding deadline in Congress. So I think, you know, at the state level, we're going to be kind of watching a lot of that economic stuff, the budget stuff, to kind of, you know, just see where the state is positioned going into potentially another federal government shutdown here in February. And, you know, the economy, of course, here going through Christmas, see what consumer habits are like, to see if that maybe tells us about anything that, you know, the state may need to do to cut some of the spending, as we were talking about.
A lot you're covering. Ben Zielinski, you do it well at Capital News Illinois and where it gets picked up. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you, John. Have a good weekend.